Joining me at the piano for a live concert is Charles Brown. Brown likes to describe himself as a singer of blue ballads. He had 9 top 10 R&B singles between 1946 and 52, including Driftin' Blues. His popularity continued into the early 60s when his songs Merry Christmas Baby and Please Come Home for Christmas became hits. Charles Brown's work is now being rediscovered. He recorded an album in 1986 for a label that folded shortly after. That album has been reissued by Alligator Records under the title One More for the Road. This week, Brown is performing at the Blue Note in Manhattan. I had the pleasure of hearing him last month at a public radio conference in a concert produced for a new NPR program called Blue Stage. That concert will be broadcast as part of the Blue Stage series this fall on many NPR stations. But right now, it's my pleasure to introduce a live Fresh Air concert with Charles Brown. Charles Brown, a pleasure to have you here. Let me ask you to open with the song that became your first big hit back in 1946, Driftin' Blues, a song Driftin' you wrote. Blues,
yes. It moved Louis Jordan out of first place on the Cashbox magazine and Billboard. Well, I'm drifting and I'm drifting like a ship out on the sea. Drifting and I'm drifting like a ship out on the sea. Well, I ain't got nobody world to care for me. If my baby would only take me back again. If my baby only take me back again. I'm not good for nothing, baby. Charles Brown don't have no friend. Give you all my money. What more can I do? I give you all my money. What more can I do? You just a good little girl. You just won't be true. Bye, baby. Baby, bye-bye, bye-bye. Bye-bye, baby. Baby, bye-bye, bye-bye. It's gonna be too late, baby. I'll be too far away. Ooh, bye-bye, bye-bye.
Charles Brown, now that we heard one of your first big hits, why don't you play something new for us?
What is it?
Play a new song for us?
Yes, I would do that, yeah. Terry. This is a tune that I had the pleasure of writing. It's called Everybody Looking for Somebody to Love, Even at My Age. So we hope you like it. I'm trying hard to find someone to love to ease my mind. Seems I have a world of trouble on my mind. This heavy load burdens me. I'm gonna lay it down so I can be free. I must find someone to love for me right now, today. Every time I read the daily news, the headline print gives me the blues. Why is there so much trouble in the times? There must be someone far away. I enjoy my life till I'm old and gray. I must find someone to love for me right now, today. All my friends seem far away. There's no family love, seems it's gone away. I read the papers each and every day. That hate prevails, seems it's here to stay. I must find someone to love to ease my mind. That's all I'm thinking of. I must find someone to love for me right now, today.
That's a great song. I like that a lot.
You like that?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, I want to mention to our listeners that in the 1940s, you spent a lot of time playing with Johnny Moore's
Three Blazers.
Mm-hmm. And Johnny Moore was the brother of Oscar Moore, who was the guitarist with the Nat Cole Trio.
Right. Uh-huh.
And listening to your early records, it sounds like you were really influenced by Nat Cole when you were starting out in the 40s to record.
Well, you know, we had a trio at the time. And I didn't ever go see Nat Cole.
Really?
And I didn't want to see him until I had established a style of my own. Mm-hmm. Because it's usually things wipe off on you when you hear someone else. How you sit at the piano. And I never did see him sit at the piano until I was established myself. Because actually, I didn't know what I was going to do. Because John Hopkins, who had worked with Nat Cole before, was a valet. He had told us that, Charles, this is where you should sit at the piano. So by me not seeing Nat Cole do it, but we were two trios challenging one another at the time. He was more into pop and we were into the Race record group, but we were still number one at that time. We didn't know we were going to be it, but we had the Pittsburgh Courier run a poll, and we won the poll, but Carlos Gastel said, for Nat Cole, the Blazers are not going to win the poll because I'm going to send $1,000 in there and I'm going to beat them with the votes. So he did that.
Well, you've influenced a lot of singers, and one of the many people you've influenced was Mose Allison, who recorded one of the songs that you did,
Fool's
Paradise.
Yeah. Yes. Sam Cooke did too, and a lot of the other people. I don't know, John A. Fuller wrote this number. He was imitating me in San Francisco, and Leo Mester and Eddie Mester would go out as talent scouts and to find tunes that would fit me. And they heard this number being number one in San Francisco because this company that had it wasn't able to send it across the country and distribution. So he said, Charles, since they're trying to imitate you doing Fool's Paradise, why don't you do it? Then I did Fool's Paradise, and it was a great hit for me.
Would you play it for us?
Yes, I will. I often think of the life I live. It's a wonder Charles Brown ain't dead. drinking and gambling, staying out all night, living in a fool's paradise. My mother told me, father told me too, someday my child, fate's gonna catch up with you. Drinking and gambling, staying out all night, living in a fool's paradise. Though I've learned my lesson, like all fools I've met, I've learned things are in this world. I remember to my dying day, my mother told me, father said it right, said Charles Brown, you're running your life, drinking and gambling, staying out all night, living in a fool's paradise.
In the 1950s, you used to travel on the rhythm and blues circuit a lot, and you had a show, and as a matter of fact, Ray Charles, when he was getting started, performed in your show, opening for you,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, Ray Charles was opening for Charles Brown, and it was during the early 50s, and people thought he was singing so much like me, so was that Charles Brown? So when I came out, they said, oh no, that's Charles Brown. But at that time, Ray, I had to take Ray Charles around. In fact, all the artists that were in Shaw Agency, they were depending on me to carry them through because the promoters wanted to buy Charles Brown. But in order for Shaw to sell the other acts, he said, well, in order to get Charles Brown, you have to take the Dominoes. I took them through. I took the Clovers through. I took Ray Charles through. I took Ruth Brown, who just won the Tony Award, through the Weinberg Tour. And then I had to be a criticizer for Fats Domino when he came into the circuit. I had to go to, came here to Philadelphia, and I came here at, he was working at the Baby Grand, I think it was on Pine Street off abroad, and I had to sit there and listen to his show. So when I listened to Fats Domino's show, you know, people here in Philadelphia, they were very funny, they were great listeners. And if they enjoyed something, they would give you a wonderful round of applause. So when Fats finished one number, he would take his time and they would smoke a cigarette. They would do a lot of talking. And so when he came up, I said, Fats, look, you lose your audience when you do this. You got to have your next number ready. And if you watch Fats Domino right today, when he gets through with any of his numbers, he goes right to the next number. So we are very dear friends even today.
You know, one of the things I really like about your repertoire is that you do rhythm and blues and blue ballads, and you also do some jazz standards. And
yes.
I'm going to ask you to do one of them now for our listeners.
Yes, there's one, Cottage for Sale, which was a very beautiful number. It's a sad number, but some people like the sadness because it happened to a lot of people in divorces. Thank you. Little dream castle with everything gone, it's lonely and silent, the shades are all drawn, my heart is heavy as I gaze upon a cottage for sale. Lawn we were proud of, waving in hay, our beautiful garden is withered away. where we planted roses, the weeds seem to say. A cottage for sale. From every single window, I see your face. But when I reach that window, there's empty space. The keys in the mailbox, the same as before, but no one is waiting for me anymore. The end of my story is told on the door. A cottage for sale.
That's great.
Thank you.
You're really making a comeback now. And I was wondering if there were periods in the late 60s and 70s, early 80s, that were difficult for you.
It was. You know, after I was banned by the Shaw Agency, they put claims against me in the union when I wanted to go see about my father. They had a lot of dates booked, and I didn't play those dates because I wanted to see about my father, so they sued me. So I was on a blacklist with the Musicians Union, and I had to go as almost a scab musician. And those were very difficult times. And a lot of promoters wouldn't pay you. They'd run out on you when they owed you money. You didn't know who they were at the ending. So I gave up. I said, look, I'm not gonna do anymore. I'm going to retire. I'm not going to play anymore until maybe something might come along. I said, I'm just sick of it. And I kept my piano going. I kept writing songs. I kept playing. I do my practicing every day, 1 hour. And to keep my fingers in shape, and I didn't give that up, but I had to take, I never forget, they say in our documentary that Ruth Brown we had called That Rhythm and Those Blues.
This was on public television.
Yeah, you got to do something to keep the funds going. People didn't pay your royalties. I did a little janitorial in a rich people's home in Hollywood. I washed windows. They paid me good, $75 for a few little minutes. The windows weren't dirty, but I did that. And people would see me and say, oh, Charles, where are you playing tonight? I said, oh, don't worry about it. I said, you wouldn't come in anyway, so don't worry about it. I'll make it because they would wonder how you get your money. So that's the way it is. So I had a few difficult times, but I went on until this point.
What started your comeback off?
Well, you know, Barry Feldman with Upside Records had sent out a notice in BMI to try to find me. And they sent a letter to me. They knew my address because he didn't know my address. And they said, well, Charles, somebody wants you in New York, and it's Upside Records. And so I read this letter from Barry Feldman, and he said, Charles, the time is right for you. We would like to record you and put you back where you should be. And I considered it, and I made this first album. He produced it. He selected a lot of the tunes, and, of course, I had a few of my own in there. And we didn't expect it to be a big successful record because we knew what the competition was here in the United States. It was just a matter of letting the people know that you were back, you know, that you maybe hadn't lost, maybe your voice got a little heavier for time, but you hadn't lost a little of your technique.
Now, this is the record that's been reissued on Alligator.
And Alligator, after all the critics gave us an A+, and the Larry Kelp out of the San Francisco critic gave us almost a full star. He's at 3.5. You can't make a full star. It's when you sell 1 million records. But when you get 3.5, it's tops.
I'd like for you to play another song. Can I make a request here?
Yes.
This is a song you wrote?
I wrote this number, Terry, but they never gave me credit for it. I wrote Black Knight. In fact, I wrote a lot of the tunes. I didn't know about royalties. All I knew about, I wanted to play. And this would be, I thought a recording artist was just a wonderful thing to be. And I didn't know that the residuals that would come in later years about writing tunes. In fact, I would help other people, and they would put their names on it, not mine. So this is one of the tunes that you're about to ask for. What is it?
Who'd know we worked out these numbers in advance, right? Okay. This is Black Knight.
Black Knight. Nobody cares about me, even got a friend. Baby's gonna left me, when will my troubles end? Black night is falling, oh I hate to be alone. Crying for my baby, but not another day is gone. I've got no one to talk with, to tell my troubles to. Don't even know I'm living since I lost you. Black night is falling, oh I hate to be alone. I keep crying for my baby, but not another day is gone. Has the troubles, father has his too. Brothers in Korea, I don't know just what to do. Black night is falling. Oh, I hate to be alone. I keep crying for my baby, but not another day is gone.
That's terrific.
Thank you.
Well, I don't feel like we could let you leave today without playing some of Merry Christmas Baby, which is one of the songs you're best known for.
Yeah, they know me for that. No care where I go, whatever time of year. Carrie.
We have about 2.5 minutes left, so let's see how as much of it as we can get in.
Okay.
Okay.
Merry Christmas, baby. You sure did treat me nice. Merry Christmas, baby. Sure did treat me nice. Gave me a diamond ring for Christmas. Now I'm living in paradise. Well, I'm feeling mighty fine. Got good music on my stereo. Feeling mighty fine. Got good music on my radio. Well, I wanna kiss you, baby, while you're standing beneath the mistletoe. just a little part of it. We won't talk about Satan coming down the chimney yet, Terry.
I'm so sorry we're out of time. The time just flew.
It would pass so fast.
It's really been a privilege to have you here. I thank you very much.
And Terry, I want to thank you for even having me on a great program like yours, because I'd heard so much about you. We listened to it. What Danny told me, he recorded a lot of things that you did. That's when I heard it.
Well, thanks so much for coming. It was just such a real treat to have you here.